Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Gentlemen, we're all back.
Nice to be back.
Pleasure to see your faces once again.
Oh, stop it, Tim.
Not such a pleasure to see that shirt that Phil's wearing.
Do you know what?
It's growing on me.
I'm surprised you can see it, Tim. Last season's Blue Bulls third kit, it's their camouflage kit. They had a blue version of this, and it's their green actual military camouflage kit, which I picked up for 99 Rand.
That is a lot. No, hang on, that's no money.
Which is about £6-ish.
Amazing. It's funny.
Which is not surprising when you look at it.
It's funny, actually, that you'd be wearing a camouflage kit for the South African military. As from what I can tell, it has no military. I saw its whole navy in one port. Yeah, its whole navy was in one port. I went to Simonstown. All four destroyers were there sitting pretty.
That sounds like a very easy target. Yeah. All your destroyers sitting in one port.
Exactly what I thought.
Well, listen, we'll get into more of this military South African chat, as well as a bit of rugby as well. Let's all put our hands in and pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast for rugby fans. I've completely forgotten what we say there. It's been a few weeks. The podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're just three mates that love the game, and we're here for you every week, except when we're on holiday, when you had our Lions Selection podcast keeping you company the last couple of weeks. In our defence, everyone has to take holidays from time to time, not because we want to,
no,
but because our families, our wives and families insist upon it. So we coordinated all our holidays so we would minimise the distractions and the problems that it would cause to the podcast. We're delighted to be back.
Did you not feel like an international rugby player who they've been playing, just gorging on a feast of rugby since September? They had the autumn internationals, no break, straight into Champions Cup, straight into Six Nations, and they just need some respite.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why the Irish provinces select as they do now, having had a couple of weeks just to completely refresh, recharge the batteries. So how was South Africa for you, other than military stuff? Did you get any rugby involved in it, JB?
I watched some rugby. I watched Northampton Wasps. I caught up on everything that I could possibly catch up on for the Aviva Premiership. The Avicii Premiership, of course.
Yeah, of course, which we'll talk about on this podcast.
Extensively. I met a guy who is my friend's now brother-in-law who actually played at Ulster.
What was his name?
His name is Angus MacDonald. You've probably never heard of him. He never actually played. He just lived over here for a year whilst he was injured. Ulster.
Right, okay.
So that was good.
Sounds like the sort of credentials Phil would have checked in on, though. Extensive injuries.
Admirable.
Yes. Good. The flights were something like... They were hellish, as I predicted. They were hellish. I did so much travelling around there. It took its toll. It was a hard work holiday interspersed with some amazing bits. Mm.
I didn't look at my phone. I didn't watch a rugby game. I couldn't watch a rugby game. There's no rugby on. And there was the start of the baseball season.
Hang on. You
in
went
the States.
What I'm disappointed with about you, Tim, is you went to San Francisco and didn't visit the Golden Gates.
Yeah, you're not wearing a San Fran Golden Gate shirt.
I can't believe that. That'd be the first place that I'd go.
Now, all I got the whole time, hey, I love your accent. Where are you from? Well, I live in Manchester. Oh, Manchester United. That's what everybody said.
Well, to be honest, sales shocks.
In South Africa, that's what most people said. That was the response. Oh, are you red or blue? Yeah. Well, I kind of prefer rugby. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. It felt like a total conversation killer a bunch of times. They go, oh, Manchester United or Manchester City. No, I like rugby.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, nice seeing you. But it was a good time anyway in California, but I'm so glad to be back and getting into rugby. Can I just say, you're listening to this probably on iTunes or Acast. There are other places you can find it, but take a moment of your time to leave a review on iTunes like Bristol Rugby Fan has done.
Poor Bristol Rugby Fan, by the way.
Poor Bristol Rugby Fan, who says, describes the podcast for original and best. That's right, we are. They say imitation is the greatest form of flattery.
Indeed.
Often imitated, never bettered. Bristol Rugby Fan says, if you like anecdotes about slightly amusing things that happen to ex-players on corporate hospitality days, this is not the podcast for you. If you like listening to ex-players who played over 20 years ago regurgitating cliches via poor quality phone interviews, this podcast isn't for you. But if you, yes, you, like chatting about rugby, voicing half-formed opinions about players you know a little bit about, and creating lists of players' names that are foods, war criminals, or types of French cheese, then this is the podcast for you.
Exactly.
I've listened to the rest and tired of them. Three is the magic number, and long may Egg Chasers continue to let us listen in to what appears to be the best hobby in the world.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Best hobby is this, and maybe Red Arrows, because they're unpaid, aren't they?
Is that right?
Yeah, I think they've got actual day jobs in the RAF and then they fly the Red Arrows after that.
One more quickly. Daryl Godden Photo has left a 5-star review on iTunes. I found this podcast whilst conducting intimate egg research online. Apple should remove this from the podcast store as it simply has nothing to do with eggs whatsoever. It's three buffoons talking about netball or something.
Yeah, good. Some good bits, 5 stars.
I'll tell you what I have done. I have prepared a little bit of a quiz to see how up to speed you are on rugby matters that have been breaking in the last few days.
Yes, please.
This will be interesting because I feel quite up to date with Super Rugby. Yeah. But not particularly up to date with Aviva.
I don't feel rugby starved.
Avicii. No, definitely
not. Yeah, I don't feel satiated at the same time.
Okay, yes. Well, which South African international player has hit the rumour mill in the last couple of days as he says he's... as it appears, he's going to sail Sharks?
Faf de Klerk.
Both got that one. Well done. Which Super Rugby star is rumoured to be going to Wasps to replace Kirtley Beale? It would be a marquee signing. You obviously haven't heard this piece of news.
Ooh, no, I haven't heard this piece of news.
It's from a New Zealand international.
I'm going to go with Crotty. No, he's too close to walk up. Yeah, Crotty.
Ooh, that'd be a hell of a signing. Genuinely, I have no idea.
Malachi Fekitoa.
Wow.
Strong rumours linking
not
him.
Not really a 12, though, is he? More
no, he plays 13. But
he's not been playing very well.
No.
And you've got to remember, Sonny Bill has been signed to serious money. So it's basically everyone else fighting out for one other spot, is it not?
Well, possibly.
Well, on Sonny Bill, next question was, aside from his average performances so far, why has Sonny Bill Williams been making headlines off the pitch this week?
I know. We can see it.
Hang on. Wait. He's involved in some charity thing, isn't he? Go on, tell me.
Phil.
So we can see over there, we've got the Blues, Lions, the Heritage jersey, mm-hmm. which has its main sponsor as NIB, which is...
I know!
A bank.
Yeah, I've got it. Yeah.
And of course, because he's...
He's
Muslim. He doesn't believe in banks taking interest rates.
Yeah, but you know
blah,
what?
Blah, blah, blah. So he made, a conscientious objection and taped up his jersey.
Not having this.
It was only on his return. So the second game he's played...
Such a hypocrite.
He wore it... presumably there were issues, but he got on and wore it.
I love it. We're getting into religion, corporate finance. Go on, Jay.
I'll tell you the issue, right? He's happy to accept the... check every month that he gets from the Blues, which is paid by NIB. So even if
there is BNZ on the Crusaders as well,
I think BNZ might be the one.
Even if he's not directly paid by them, even if they say, look, Sonny, we're going to carve off this bit of money, we're going to pay you from I don't know whatever, you know, whoever else pays them, it's still money going into the organisation that he works for. It's so hypocritical. I hate it. And he's put something else on his top, hasn't he, like a charity or something.
Yeah. A charity whose principal sponsor is BNZ.
Is that right?
Yeah. Really?
I do think there's there a little, but I do think there's a little bit where rugby's getting all very gossipy, like women's magazine looking for drama. Actually, it's not that big a drama point.
It is a big deal because you're not wearing your team's sponsor. You have no place on that team. The whole point about the team is you all look the same. You know, you all show up to the game. Oh, and
no one looks the same as Sonny Bill. Look how good he looks.
Oh, I tell you what, actually. There is someone who's competing
what
with Sonny Bill.
What happened to no dickheads? What happened to that?
There is someone who's competing with Sonny Bill for the shorter shorts in Super Rugby.
Really?
Which are...
It's not me at the moment, is it?
Incredibly. They are certainly shorter than you. It's Stormers captain, Khaleesi. His shorts...
Now, when you say Khaleesi, I don't need to be. I don't mean to be turned on, but...
His shorts, they were like... painted on. So not only were they painted on, but they came barely below his buttocks.
Wow.
Like, they barely covered buttocks. You know when
like some of the women, some of the schoolgirls, well, not schoolgirls, some of the college students that were on spring break in California that I saw.
Well, you know when you occasionally see, like, midsummer in Britain, you see a slightly chavvy, slightly large-ish girl wearing hot pants that are just a little bit too short for her.
Mm.
Is that kind of feeling with Khaleesi in the Stormers Lions game?
The sort of outfit our daughters will never wear.
Never, never.
Okay, then. Right, so Phil is currently winning this Who's Up to Speed. Which Quinns player re-signed for the club this week amid speculation of their departure?
Ooh. I know this one as well.
It's got to be. If I was to guess, I don't know. It would be. I'd say Kerr or Brown because they've both been speculated.
No, I don't think it is. I've seen it on my. I'm on the Quinsey mailing list. I can't remember.
You might be getting confused with a player leaving. Matt Hopper's going to Oyena.
Yeah. No, actually, do you know? I don't know if you know this. A few years ago, they beat the leaders of the top 14.
Dean Ryan logic.
Yeah.
Then Dean Ryan beat a team that had beaten one of the top teams.
That's So Matt Hopper's joining the top 14 champions. That's a great signing.
Yeah, that's right. It was Mike Brown.
Oh. Mike Brown. So he's re-signed.
I thought it was Jamie
Interesting.
Robinson.
Do you know what... this was revealed by a New Zealand newspaper and website this week. What is the tour fee that players are getting for the British and Irish Lions if they're selected for the tour? So it's a flat fee. No bonuses for winning the matches, although there is that. So I'm just talking about what's the flat fee for going on the tour.
Sorry, for the Lions players?
For the Lions players.
I'm going to guess it's 20K.
So I read this article, but I can't quite remember the figures.
Mind you,
I know
it was
about 2.5 million was the total pot, including the bonuses if they get a series victory. I'm going to say about 55k.
Yeah, maybe that's more like it.
Yeah, Phil's closest. £70,000. A 10k bonus if you win the three-match series. I mean, you just think, compare that to England's 22k per match.
Yeah, but...
it's not about that. This is about making history, not money, so I quite like it.
Well,
yeah.
No, because...
But they deserve to share in the spoils.
No, it's under market value, really, isn't it?
Because it is.
Yeah, massively, because 22k times three, well, you're already on 60, then you're on the...
But there's 10 matches on the tour.
Yeah, it's massively below.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you like to know about some history?
Oh, go on.
Yes, please.
I'll just tease this now for later.
Oh, what have you got, JB?
Well, it's sealed, if you can see it on Facebook Live. It's a little bag. It's got the Lions logo on it, and it's got a little seal which says, do not open. And it's also got a little notes from Canterbury saying, do not open until the 19th. Now, I know a few things, and it's slightly opaque, this bag. I'm guessing it's a Lions top, one of the untouchable ones.
It looks like you can just about make out the Lions badge, but this is one of the official match jerseys.
Exactly. So we'll put that down for later.
But do you know what? The 19th of April is Connie, my daughter's birthday, so could I just give that to her as a present? Can she open it?
It'd certainly save you a lot of searching around for presents.
It would, yeah. but 19th, excellent.
Yep. So
19th is... is Wednesday when the squad is announced,
which is the day after this comes out. So
yeah,
there you go. Sorry, gone. More quizzes.
We'll get on. Yeah. Okay. So, Where am I at? Quinns player Mike Brown. Yeah, he's re-signed. Which front row player, if you believe reports, looks set to be the Lions bolter, and will make the cut for the Lions squad on Wednesday. And I'll put as a little star an asterisk next to it. and means Warren Gatlin clearly listened to the podcast and my contribution to the podcast before selecting his squad.
Tommy Taylor?
No.
Autorac or Sinclair?
Yeah, Carl Sinclair.
Sinclair. Ooh.
Sinclair is in, according to the Telegraph.
Showed some lovely hands in the first half.
I've got to say, has been mooted for quite a long time now, Sinclair being in that squad.
Well, yeah.
Well, on our podcast that we talked about it, he didn't make the cut on our 37-man
squad.
Which
makes me think that there is some substance to it because it keeps on coming back.
Well, apparently the status is that all something like in the region of 100 players have been sent a contract.
Wow.
In anticipation of should they be selected, have all the paperwork in order.
Oh, that's awful.
I know.
I'd rather just not have it.
No contracts at all.
Yeah. Rather than have the contract and then have the tap on the shoulder from the coach, you didn't make it.
Yeah,
sorry.
You were considered.
Yeah.
But you're not quite good enough. You are our fourth choice fullback.
Oh, yeah, you get that letter, you have that feeling. Imagine how sick people are feeling in their tummy right now.
They should do that, right, under some sort of blind trust or something, which goes to the agent. So the agent knows. Yeah. The agent can put everything into place.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, would you like to go on a Lions? Yes or no? At the start of the season, when no one's thinking about it, goes to the agent. Agent, power of attorney, yes. Get ready to go.
It's all yeses.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what circumstances it's a no?
Holiday?
Yeah, holiday into New Zealand. Travelling around New Zealand.
Sorry, boss, got something booked.
Yeah, would anyone say no?
I just can't see it.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that get married at that time. That's the other thing.
But even on a Lions year, surely guys are just kind of not booking weddings, just in... a hopeful optimism.
You're not going to give it up to be an usher or a best man, are you? Or maybe birth of a child, because I'm sure they do time things like that for now.
Yeah, well, in the 2003 World Cup, Will Greenwood missed a week of the World Cup to come home, didn't he?
Yeah.
For the birth of his child and then go back out for the quarterfinal.
That's a lot of flying.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that is a lot of flying.
Sorry, I wasn't with a newborn, Jay. I know you've had a one-year-old on your flight. The other two names that are apparently in, Hendo, after his towering performance for Ulster.
Did we call Hendo or not?
Oh, no, for Ireland, sorry,
for
against
Ireland,
England.
Against England, yeah.
No, we didn't. Phil did a bit. And get ready, JB, because apparently we are going to see on Wednesday, if you believe the newspaper reports, a new level of peak Teo.
Not playing it, mate. Not playing it until it happens.
Oh,
what a tease.
I know. Sorry.
We'll have to...
Otherwise, everyone will just be playing horns all day long, every day.
Yeah.
It'd be ridiculous.
Well, how can we mark it? Because the next podcast will be on Sunday next week. How can we mark the fact that if peak TO does happen and he does make the Lions squad?
We'll put out an extra podcast.
Just 2 minutes of horn.
Yeah. We're going to do that. We're going to do that if he makes it.
So if anything hits your inventory on Thursday morning, it's just going to be 2 minutes of the peak TO horn.
It'll be 1 minute, 46 seconds, plus about 3 minutes of adverts.
All this media stuff must just be hell for the players. If you are Henderson, Teo or Sinclair or anyone else for that, or even like Dan Cole, because you'd imagine he's probably the player that's missing out if Sinclair's going. It must just be hell.
Yeah, well, yeah. Dan Cole might miss out if WP Nell's fit.
Yeah, I think Dan Cole's going because he's fit and he's a tight head. I just think he's going.
And I can only think of a significant injury. Well, he had his shoulder.
Oh, so it's no WP now. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Instead of WP now. Yes, you're right.
Longevity. Yeah, if you're playing a 10-game tour, longevity, particularly if you're tight five, is important.
And it's not like he's had a bit of a calf issue. He's had a neck issue with WP now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. Dan Cole will be going. But speaking of Leicester, what final question? Which Leicester international player announced his retirement from the game this week?
I know.
This is sad.
Yeah, I don't understand it. It must be... I'm guessing it's injury. It is. Marcus Ayerza, sadly.
He last played in November, or October, November time. Not played since then and has had to retire.
What is the injury?
I think it's a shoulder thing.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's before time. I mean, he should have... If he was going to maybe leave Leicester, it should have been to go and be an international playboy with the Jaguares for a couple of seasons until the World Cup. He had another World Cup in him.
Oh, 100%.
One of the great compliments was on Rugby Dungeon when you were talking to Flats.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you kind of thought that Ayerza... This is last season. You thought Ayerza might be kind of decreasing, his powers might be waning a little bit. And Flats response, Flats obviously is an international loose head, his response was, even if he his powers decrease 10%, and he said arbitrary figure, I'm just pulling it out of the air, even if his powers decrease 10%, he would still be comfortably the best loose head prop in Europe.
Yeah. This is what I'd say about him. There were some, not dark years, but there were some years in the Premiership when the French teams were basically sucking all the great players. He was one of the few players that you could say is genuinely world-class and has been world-class in the Premiership for what? Is it 10 years now?
A good 10 years.
So, real shame to see him go.
Yes, definitely.
Definitely, although the talk of players going to the Premiership is just... the money in the Premiership now. They have really done a good job at turning the tables on France, like you mentioned.
Well, Steve Diamond says something interesting, which is, we are spending all of this money and no more people are watching the game, which I find a fascinating comment. And there's another line
Does
of
he
thought.
Does mean no more people are going to the AJ Bell Stadium?
He might mean that. He might also mean that. But the other thing is, I'm really worried now that this... spending money is going to end up in tears, and I'm worried that it's artificially inflated because BT wants to sell broadband more than Sky wants to sell broadband, and that's where all the cash is coming. As soon as the broadband war is over, rugby's going to have some very cold, hard realities.
I think rather than thinking one of those two broadcasters will go away and that will the value will decrease, I think more likely is another different person, an entity like some who knows Google.
Well,
will come in and go. Fingers we'll crossed. Have a bit of that.
Could you imagine a Netflix style body where you can just pay however much it is, £20 a month, and you can just watch sport?
There's one in Germany.
So I think that is the future. That has it has to be.
Everything's going that way.
Because I have a Sky and a BT account. I don't watch anything. I watch nothing.
Don't watch The Affair, no.
Nothing apart from
don't watch darts. Sport. Darts on a Thursday night.
Lethal.
I might occasionally flip the darts on. I don't watch any other TV.
Lethal
other than
Weapon,
sport.
The TV series.
No, I've not indulged in that yet.
Babe Station. Come on.
Definitely not.
Now, if you want to talk about an industry that's moved to the internet, Babe Station.
Yeah, how is that still viable? That
what's, right, rugby, what? Rugby.
Yeah,
come
sorry,
on.
Sorry, yeah. Quite right. Anyway, here's a rumour. Finn Russell spotted in Manchester Airport and someone spoke to him, had a selfie with him, and he was heading off to France for a couple of days.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we'll watch that one with interest. What else have I spotted? Staying with Scottish rugby and with Glasgow, actually, Sean Lamont's going to play his last game in a few weeks' time, and the fans are leading a crusade. There's a bit of a crusade to try and get Sean Lamont to bleach his hair blonde and get him to put his gloves back on for his last game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they mentioned that on the Thistle. I think it's a great, great campaign.
Yeah.
I was thinking about what are other strong looks that when it comes to the end of other players' careers or maybe players in the past, what are strong looks that could be... that we look back at, like Marler on his last game should go for the sausage.
Oh, yeah.
Shaved into the back of his
head. Hogworks or yeah, sausage.
So there's a couple of strong looks I can think of. Obviously Andy Good for how he looked at towards the end of his career. Ashley Johnson is another very strong look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else?
Henson, he's had a number of them. His frosted tips that he had, like when he had hair like the Statue of Liberty's crown.
Fake tan, shaved
his
legs.
His best one was like the mushroom head. You see, like, he had
like Lego hair.
Yeah, I can't really describe it. It's quite something.
Yes,
he's got many years left, so no point in talking about his retirement.
Like Gloucester, like when Johnny May or Charlie Sharples retire, every player on the Gloucester team should wear really long cycling shorts down to the knee.
Completely agreed.
Forearm protectors.
They might have to retire the cycling shorts.
Yeah, that's a better
when
idea.
When Sharples goes,
I'm trying to think of it.
Yeah, forearm protectors. Does anyone still wear a forearm arm protector?
Yeah.
Big Ben Tierwood does, doesn't he?
Scott Quinnell for broadcasting still wears one.
Under the suit.
And massive shoulder pads. Who's the player who has... Oh, yeah, Johnny Sexton. His last game, everyone should wear like out of Dallas in the 80s. Huge.
But still can't quite fit his shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
It has just reminded me of an Instagram post by Will Genia I saw a couple of days ago, which was Jules Plisson, who is most famous for being smashed by Courtney Laws.
Yes.
Turned upside down and inside out by Courtney Laws. Anyway, it's a picture of Plisson. It was a black and... I want to say tasteful, but it wasn't tasteful. It was a black and white photo of Plisson naked, face down, with his buttocks pointing provocatively in the air. It's an interesting... Check out Will Genya's Instagram account if you want to. I'm sure I've tempted a lot of people with that.
Mm. One day I'll tell you the story about when I got seduced by a high court judge. But that's for another
wow.
day.
Wow. You're pulling out some incredible teasers today.
Yeah.
Special podcast for that one, I think.
Right. How about some games? Do you want to talk about some games?
Yeah. Shall I talk about the game I went to?
Go on.
Go on then.
Because one of us has actually been to a live game. Well, I guess we all went to the live Romania game. In the last month, one of us has been to another live game.
Yep.
The Sharks versus the Natal Sharks versus the Jaguares.
Yeah.
Was this the worst game in history?
This was... I was hoping for a magnificent... The conditions were glorious. It was 32 degrees, not a breath of wind. Nice, warm, still, dry day. And neither team seemed capable or willing to play any rugby at all.
Even the Jaguares?
Especially the Jaguares this season.
The Jaguares at times... So Sanchez was kicking a lot. It almost seemed like a tactic to kick, but the kicks were poorly executed. Sharks were also kicking a lot. They moved... So Lambie's injured, and they brought in a young lad at fly half who didn't have a great game at all. And neither team seemed kind of capable of playing much rugby. There's a couple of tries scored, but nothing great. What was good was it cost me and my lovely wife for two tickets, great seats, and we had about eight beers between four beers each during the game. All of that for less than £20.
What?
Which is
it's outrageous out there. It is outrageous.
I can say that the exchange rate, you felt it this time going to the States.
Oh yeah.
Was it one for one ish?
It was $125.
Yeah.
But I remember going within the last few years, and it was $170.
Yep.
And it just you really felt it. Didn't stop me buying about half a dozen pairs of Adidas trainers, but there you go.
I noticed you're spotting some new
this is just vintage. One of many.
But in South Africa, so even in good restaurants, a beer between 20 and 30 rand, which is
It's ridiculous.
130 to 180. A glass of wine, 25 to...
And that's in a restaurant?
That's in a restaurant. So me and Claire had steak in what's supposed to be the best steakhouse in Durban. A huge steak, loads of sides, two glasses of wine each, desserts, all for 30 quid. Just over 30 quid.
Wow.
Which in England would be £100+. It's highly, highly recommended.
Yeah, it's the exchange rate is incredible.
Live pod.
Yeah.
Right. Shall we talk about Harlequins Exeter?
Yes.
Friday night's game.
So, a couple of interesting ones for you here. From what I can read, no one has got more bonus points than Exeter. Another important point...
Bonus points, that is.
Yes, try bonus points. Yeah. Another interesting thing is this was the Premiership's first ever full Zimbabwean back row.
Kai Horseman.
Dave Ewers.
Don Armand, yeah.
Nice.
So there we go. And it was quite the game, actually. Have either of you seen this?
Yeah, I've seen extended highlights.
Oh, I've not seen any of it. I've caught up to all, but...
Let's just talk about some of the scores. I mean, the first Quinns try was classic Quinns. And you think, yeah, we've got a real good game going on here. And then it just sort of went backwards. It went backwards for two reasons. One, I just think that Exeter know how to win games late on. They've not lost now in seven, maybe. Could even be longer than that. Lockie Turner, and I've got a theory to propose on this. Lockie Turner looked absolutely class. He scored two late tries. They had Slade at 10. And here's my theory. I've said it before. Exeter are going to have to go backwards before they go forwards. Because what they effectively have is an incredibly well-drilled, incredibly disciplined, killing machine of a team. But what they don't have, like Saracens do, is that layer of flair which they can just overlay, and they've got all the organisation, then a bit of gameplay on top of that.
Do you think they don't have that flair?
Not yet, but they've kind of got it ready to go.
Okay.
So you've got Slade, you've got Devoto, you've got Lockie Turner.
It's interesting, Slade and Devoto.
Campagnaro. Oh my God, yes.
It's interesting that Slade, Devoto, Campagnaro seems to be looking like their new midfield axis.
I think they're bringing these boys in slowly. I think at the start of the season they gave it a go, didn't really work, went back to type. And I think they're trying to slowly evolve this game. And if they manage to do it, I'm not sure they will for a season or two, because it's such a big departure, they are going to be awesome. Like, well, European level awesome.
So Exeter are near enough guaranteed top four.
Mm. They want that home semi-final though.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only downside to this win for Exeter, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong, the only try that they scored, which was purely of their making, was probably the Slade one. Chipped and chipped again. Everything else felt like Harlequin's mistakes. So the Campagnaro one, Mike Brown gets done in the air, bounces, a few hands. He goes to tackle in the corner, doesn't trust Vissa, misses his tackle, Campagnaro goes over.
But
that, the skill involved in that Campagnaro try, though, the two offloads, the out the back door switch by
Mike Brown does his job well, and it's over.
And Saracens are a team who capitalise on mistakes. They are incredible.
Right. Agreed. The flip side of that coin is Saracens don't make mistakes.
True.
So, you know, you can capitalise on mistakes. Saracens don't make mistakes, so you can't capitalise on those mistakes. And I think that's just the difference between Exeter and Quinn's. There's too many mistakes in Quinn's game. And I don't really know what they do from here.
For the record, Exeter are definitely guaranteed top four, but they do want that. They do want that home semi-final.
Well, it is the squad's aim, isn't it, to finish at the top.
So it'd be really interesting with Exeter to see whether Slade is trusted at 10 for the... If they get to this... Well, they will get to a semi-final. They are definitely getting to a semi-final. Whether Slade gets the nod at 10 or whether they revert to type and go for a safe pair of hands.
I don't think I'd play Slade at 10. No way, not in a big game.
They have been doing in these really, really important games. They have Northampton at home and Gloucester away. But, you know, their final two fixtures.
So looking at the league as well, it is in Exeter's hands whether they finish in the top two home semi-final, which means that it's out of Saracens' hands whether they get a home semi-final.
Saracens' last game of the season, away to Wasps.
Is it?
Ooh.
See, I'm going to make it... I've got a list of...
Of the regular season, obviously.
Yeah. But Saracens, 2 years ago, finished fourth. And still won the whole thing.
Is that right? They finished fourth?
Yeah.
Bloody hell. So, I've got a list of unpopular predictions, or unlikely predictions, which I think could come true. And one of my predictions is next year Wasps will not finish in the top four.
We actually predicted that this year, didn't we?
Did we? I don't remember.
Yeah, I seem to... Yeah. And we predicted Northampton would do and Wasps wouldn't do.
Yeah. Oh, Northampton should have done.
Well...
They should be in the top four. I know it shoulda, woulda, coulda, but...
If only rugby games were 76 minutes long, Tim.
If only. We trained so hard for 76 minutes this week.
We can't figure out what's going wrong.
Well, we had to go and it's lunch.
I love the... Well, I don't... I love... It's awkward. I'm trying to find the gif of... here we go. The little video of Jim Malinder losing his temper on the side of the pitch. Have a watch of this.
Oh, no.
He's obviously was just devastated. This has happened so many times.
Is that a small boy? He's kicking a small boy.
It's a load of water bottles go flying across the turf.
Well, Northampton...
Absolutely livid.
It's kind of bittersweet, this, because at least they're playing rugby now. And the fault here doesn't lie with the fact that they lost against... Saracens in the last minute. That's neither here nor there. The fact of the matter is they played atrociously awful rugby at the start of the season, and that's why they're in the situation that they are. They are playing rugby like you should now be playing at the start of the season, and then you need to tweak it later on. They basically killed themselves early doors with the firing of Alex King and all of that which went before it. So no sympathy from me.
But I mean, the firing of Alex King, I mean, last season their back, and at the start of this season, their backs were not firing particularly well.
No.
So, but yeah, it's an odd time to do it mid-season, isn't it, or partway through the season.
Just a quick observation from this week's games. Tamona Harrison played, he came off the bench.
Yeah, for pick-em-alls.
Do you think there's a new category of player, and that is abrasive? When you hear the word abrasive, is that code for not particularly good at anything, but tries hard?
Really, really tries hard.
Yeah, like Mike Brown was called abrasive. I was like, oh, backhanded compliment.
Yeah, like there's also another one you quite often hear, the vernacular. They'll go, oh, another muscular showing by so-and-so, which kind of means clumsy, probably going to knock the ball on, just but might make a ball carry every now and again.
Oh, he's so abrasive. What, he can pass well? No, he's abrasive.
I mean, Saracens rested quite a few players for their game this week.
And once again, they just do not know when they're beaten.
No.
Mentality of that squad is just incredible.
Do you know what might help them win the final? No.
No.
Bringing back the cock tap. And
Exeter's cock tap.
Exeter's cock tap.
Not only would it help them, I know the exact reason that it stopped.
Right. Well, let's just rewind a minute, because I think we were the pioneers of spotting the cock tap many, many moons ago and made it a big part of our podcast. And then we noticed some while ago that the cock tap, the Exeter celebration of tapping your mates meat and two veg after they scored a try, was gone. So firstly, why did it start, JB?
Well, I'll tell you after you tell everyone about Cornerstone.
What's happened? Have you gone on a radio course for the last 2 weeks? How to tease?
I have got one of the best radio mentors that there is, Tim, and that is your wife.
Oh yeah,
and I've actually bought her videos. So there you go.
There you go. So it was a good tease. So yes, we'll get to that in just a moment. But Cornerstone, as you know, is the finest razor on the market. Do you know what? I spoke to, I saw them adverts for it in the US. It's growing. I mean, it started small in the UK as a venture. It's growing. It's taken over because it is the best. Better than Gillette. Better than Wilkinson Sword. Better than all the other supermarket owned brands. If you want the best razor you can get and you want it really, really cheap, then you can with us, because for just £4, you can get the best razor on the market, half a dozen of them, and a free aluminium engraved shaft, your initials on it, beautiful aluminium shaft in a Cornerstone presentation box. If that is, you just go to, so I was going to say that was the price of a pint, but only in England, in South Africa, you can get smashed for that.
Yeah, 4 pints at least.
So, anyway, go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or...
Egg10 at checkout.
Cock tap.
Yeah, so... actually, very noble beginning. It was for testicular cancer awareness.
Really?
Yeah, okay. That's why they did it. Now, the funny part...
The problem is that no one became aware that of why they were doing it. They kept that bit to themselves.
I mean, this is the danger, isn't it, when you do the cheap thing and raise awareness for... I'm doing inverted commas with my fingers now. Raising awareness for charity, whether you're cycling over the... You know, whether you're fulfilling a lifetime achievement or whatever it is. No one really knows what it's about. And the best part about this is... You give something like this to a bunch of lads, and it's obviously going to escalate into something completely different. So a few nice parts of the story. What started off as like a little tap obviously got very much exaggerated as everyone's trying to like outdo each other. And apparently they were watching like videos on the video analysis session, and if someone wasn't into it, they go, "That's weird. He didn't get involved." Why are you not getting involved? And you can imagine it, can't you? Like, yeah. You okay, mate? We just think it's a bit weird that you're not, okay.
Tapping his cock,
Yeah, you can imagine Rob Baxter stepping in and going, "Look, boys, we're a squad. We do things together. Here we go. I've got..." And he'd have some stock footage of a highlights reel of the best slow motion, best cock taps.
Well, but it's a fine line for Baxter, because if you're a bit too vigorous, you could have Jack Knoll out for weeks on end.
Yeah. Weeks.
Yeah.
So there was that. What was the other nice part about this, which I... So, anyway, they started getting a bit of heat from it. And I think it's the Exeter Examiner or whatever the hell is down there have started noticing. So next thing that you know, they're forming like big huddles trying to like...
Hide the
celebration.
Which is the opposite of raising awareness.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I think this is when they did something very Exeter-ish. And they said... Convoys, I think we kind of lost sight about why we're doing this, so they've kind of stepped away from it now. So that's why the cock tap is no longer. But I want to, just to raise awareness for our podcast more than anything else. What's his name? Ten, please give me the name of the Exeter Ten again.
Steenson
has got himself a little pub back in his house, and I know he's already got a name for it, but I want to make him one of those proper pub signs.
Yes.
Post over. I want to say the Exeter cock tap, because that's what it should be called.
Yes.
Do they call it the cock tap? Because we coined the phrase cock
tap. I don't know.
We coined the phrase the cock tap.
Yeah, we just speak about it among ourselves, don't we? So yeah. I don't know.
So you, on the pub sign, you'd have the cock tap or the Exeter cock tap.
Yeah.
But you'd have a picture of a cockerel.
On a tap?
On a tap, or a cockerel... Buy a tap.
No, on a cockerel on a beer tap. Be on a perfect. Beer tap. Actually could be a pub. If you're a publican out there.
Well, what about a penis and a... No, that won't work.
No,
won't work.
I mean, just thank... Let's all be thankful they weren't raising awareness for breast cancer.
I'm sure a lot of the female fan base are very thankful for that.
Well, some aren't. Right, okay. Moving on. Shall we talk about Leicester Newcastle?
Yes. Matt O'Connor's first home game at Welford Road. Harry Thacker starting at 7 first time in the Premiership.
Yeah.
So I've noticed he's actually been frequently wearing the 20 shirt on the bench.
Yeah.
So they've had McGuigan as their number two, and he's also been...
All right, I'm going to ask a stupid question now. I genuinely don't know the answer to this. What numbers on the subs' backs do they correspond with?
16 hooker, 17 loose head, 18 tight head, 19 lock, 20 back row or utility forward, 21 scrum half, 22 fly half slash utility back, 23 back
outside
three.
Back.
Had no idea.
Unless you're Toulon, who's 20.
I was going to say they don't have to be that.
It's a 5-2 split, isn't it?
Well, no. So Toulon even... So they often have... 6-2 split, but
that's not obligatory, by the way. There's numbers, you can have whatever you want. That's just what people do.
But Toulon, even when they have a 5-3 split, they always have their reserve tight head in the number 23 jersey, because 23 was the additional prop that was brought in.
Oh, I see.
So you previously had 7 subs.
How do you know this?
I don't know. Just an observation.
Oh, there you go. That's fascinating stuff.
Yeah, you previously had 7 with only one prop, who was generally someone who could cover both sides, or you'd have someone in your 3 that could cover both sides, but now it's...
So the tight head prop is always the highest number because he was extra.
In Toulon, yes, because that is the additional player.
There we go. Mm. Very good. Yeah, good game. I kind of wonder if this is kind of like... Well, you've got 2 kids, Tim. Do you know when they fall out and... it's over something, and you're right to settle this, neither of you can have it. And I wonder if that's what they've done with their coaches, really. And that's why Matt Connor has shown up. But credit to him, this is a really impressive win. The attack looked good. One thing which bothers me, and it's just a random thought whilst watching it, is Jack Roberts is leaving at the end of the year. Now, no one thinks Jack Roberts is a world-class centre by any stretch, but he is always there. And when he goes, presumably that'll mean that Tamua and Manu have got to step up. And between them, they've had 2 games all season.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, are they really undervaluing a guy? And same with Owen Williams to a certain degree. Are they really undervaluing a guy who is there all the time in exchange for some big names?
That is the conundrum, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is the professional rugby problem. That you bring these young lads through, they are there, they're available, they're consistent, even if they're not necessarily outstanding. And they're certainly less valued than the big name.
What I would say is he's been in Leicester teams where the team plays really badly and have awful results. He's been in teams where they have really great results. I don't think he is necessarily contributing in either direction.
Yeah.
He's just, exactly as you described, he's just kind of there, does a competent job, and there is a value. I agree with what you say.
But what happens if he's not there?
Yeah, I agree with that. What I thought was interesting, and he won't be there next season, he'll be at the team he was playing against, but Mamoz, having a real class centre, a class operator in the centre, seems to have made a big, big difference to Leicester.
Yes.
And so you're right that they need players in those positions, but Mamoz, just the little touches, the offloads, the...
Who's the other guy going to Newcastle? So obviously Mamoz is going. There's another guy, isn't there?
I can't remember. Josh Matavesi in the centre is
That's
going.
That's not bad, you know.
But Mamoz and Cicino will be one of the classiest centre pairings in the league.
Yeah.
And if they can get the best out of the back three.
I don't think Cicino played this week, did he?
I've not seen the game.
I can't remember.
Not seen the game.
But it's interesting. And the other thing is Newcastle have had some noticeably good results. They got as high as 6th, I think, did they not?
Yeah.
At one point.
Yeah.
And I wonder if people have just started to watch the videos and gone, actually, this isn't too difficult to beat. And because they did it playing attractive rugby, well, which way do they go now? Because you can't really go back and not play attractive rugby so you can set up to play attractive rugby in the future to beat some of the teams.
Their set piece was awful.
Yeah, they are.
It was really bad.
Dave
Wilson.
Wilson in particular was very poor.
He is a declining force.
Yeah. It makes sense why Bath ditched him now, to be fair.
And Ben Youngs was good. Ben Youngs.
He was outstanding.
That bonus point try that he scored was just electric.
Yeah, very, very, very impressive stuff.
But really interesting, like you say, Thacker being utilised as a back row starting at seven, and McGuigan being chosen at hooker ahead of Youngs. So
here's a thought for you.
O'Connor's come in and he's freshened it up.
Yeah.
Summer tour. How about Brendan O'Connor going on the England tour?
Yeah.
Bloody good player.
He is a good player. He's a very good player.
He can do pretty much everything. He's not massive, but he tackles well, he steals
and
well.
And Clifford's going to be out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Brendan O'Connor in England shirt. Yeah. I think he'd be a massive addition to that squad.
Certainly more than Mike Williams. For example.
100% more than Mike Williams. He has got more hair than any other man alive.
How Steven Gerrard has a hairline that just means that there is no forehead there.
No. Bizarre.
Freddie Burns looked really good as well. In a way that at times George Ford did not look good
for
Bath.
That's an interesting point, isn't it? Because one of the sticking points.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Apparently with Major he was very keen on Burns. He's like, well, I'd rather keep the guy who's here rather than go after Ford. And the Leicester board disagreed with this and then he was out. But yeah, he was a big fan.
Burns is always going to look good when it opens up in a game like that.
Yeah.
Playing Newcastle at home, you expect if Freddie Burns doesn't look good in that game, he's never going to look good.
What's the difference, though, between him and Ford? Because Ford might be maybe just 10% better than Burns, but fundamentally the same player.
Just feels a bit more accomplished all around.
Yeah.
Neither of them are particularly good tacklers, are they?
But if he's only 10% better than Burns, arbitrary figure... Is he worth the amount of money extra that they're going to pay him over Burns?
Yeah.
That'd be my question.
And with the amount that they're not going to have him available.
Yes, exactly.
Which is a very good point, actually. And Burns will, unless something miraculous happens, Burns will be available all season.
Well, let's jump over to Bath then, because this was a significant game. It's part of the reason which sealed Bristol's fate, which was going to happen anyway, sooner or later. But Worcester getting a win at home against Bath. I think Bath deserved to lose just purely for that grey kit. The sooner they get rid of that, the better.
It's
dreadful kit. Dreadful change kit. And their starting kit is so good. Good to see Banners back. Banners!
Yeah, very good.
Doing what Banners does.
Yeah. What is there to say about this game? Basically, on this one, it tells me that Worcester have done everything right, except not sign halfbacks. And now they've got half the jigsaw puzzle in, they look like a much better team. God knows what they'd be like with an actual 10 rather than Mills, who's re-signed this week. I'd like to see Mills go back into centres.
Yeah. He hit a whopper of a pen from 58 metres.
Good player. Wow. I've said this for a long time. I like Ryan Mills a lot. If they get a really classy 10, these guys could be serious. But here's a problem. There's only so many 10s available. So
yeah.
I guess it's the same for everyone.
And here's a problem. Are they going to get enough good ball?
Yeah, I think so.
To use them.
I think
their pack seems competent, doesn't it?
Yeah. Gary Goldsay will make him, nice and dead hard. He'll be absolutely fine. But they need a 10.
What about Bath? I don't know how to assess them. Because they have just...
capitulated.
They've just crapped the bed.
Yeah. What a strange time and place to capitulate, though. We're going to battle for fourth, but not really.
Yeah, we'll try up to a point, but then just roll over.
Yeah, they were pretty poor.
It'd be so frustrating if you're a Bath fan. Because even a few games ago in the league, they were looking like top four was a near certainty. It was theirs to lose.
Yeah.
And now...
Yeah, I can't see them getting into top four. I don't think they're good enough.
Well, no, they are now 4 points off Leicester with two games remaining.
Leicester have Worcester away on the final game and Sale at home. So Bath have got Gloucester at home
and Sale away. Sale away even, yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's going to be tough, isn't it?
We've been making excuses for Bath most of the season with the injuries they've had, the players unavailable. They had all their internationals back. They've had players returning from injury. Francois Lowe was back. And they kept the same team selection for the first time in months, two games in a row with the same 15.
Do you think it's just luck of the draw to a certain extent, which is when they've had a weaker team, they've had weaker opposition? Because when they have gone into battle against the top four teams, with the exception of Leicester, who they beat, they have just got absolutely hammered. They lost a close one against Exeter, but against Saracens, against Wasps, it was a bloodbath.
Yeah. Well, the game that I went to watch when Bath hosted Wasps, you were there, Tim.
Yeah.
And Bath were summarily outplayed for the whole 80 minutes. They never looked like they were even going to be close to being in the game.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't think they're a top four team. I don't know. I've kind of been pretty cold. I mean, I thought they'd finish eighth this season, so I'm completely wrong on Bath anyway.
But you look at the names in their squad, and they should be out and out top four. They are class international players throughout.
Well, the reason I didn't think they would do so well this season, and maybe it's bearing fruit now, is that they have all these names, and they seem to sign players with big names, almost like for the sake of signing players with big names. But yet they didn't have a coaching structure. They had Darren Edwards and they had Toby Booth, who are very good coaches in their own right, but they're not the head of rugby. They're not the head coach. They're not the director of rugby. And I thought it'd take a season for them to bed in anyway. In my mind, they've actually overperformed.
There is that argument that Blackadder only came in late in pre-season. It'll be interesting to see if Blackadder brings anyone from the Crusaders, who are unbeaten, top of Super Rugby at the moment, unbeaten this season.
Who do you reckon he'd be interested in?
Oh, they've got Richie Mwunga.
Richie Mwunga was the one I was thinking.
But Whitelock, Moody, Reed, bring any of those boys in. They've got one of their wingers, I can't remember his name, scored a hat-trick this weekend, just got admittedly against the Sunwolves, but got a first-half hat-trick.
This is one of the things that makes me think, actually, while there is the money and while the table has been turned and the flow of players is coming to the Avicii Premiership more so than top 14 or wherever else, it does make me think that actually now I want a closed shop so that we don't just have loads of big names, former international players that are no longer international players into the Premiership.
Yeah. So
the two things that I think on that is, you're primarily right. But more to the point is, it's not the way to build a squad. Look at Worcester. I've just said that they've done everything the right way. They have to a degree. But I don't think that their big players really added much. Whereas you look at Saracens, completely
big time.
Yeah, whereas Saracens do the opposite, which is they bring in a lot of lads from the academy. I think that's the only way to do it because of the value.
Well, a good way to look is across the Irish Sea as well. Leinster in particular are so good at bringing a handful of, not even necessarily the biggest names, but a handful of international players, but bringing through the youth. So that's the kind of model. And I think if a closed shop allows that to happen, why not?
Yeah. The other thing as well is, we always go on about a salary cap. I've had a new idea. Well, not a new idea. It happens in other sports. But something even more important, which is a minimum spend. You have to spend a minimum on your squad.
Well, I would just like some transparency. I'd like to understand who is spending what.
Yeah.
Because we don't have any transparency at all.
It should be published.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Any other games in the Avicii Premiership that anyone would particularly want to talk about?
Yeah, let's talk about Sale. There's two games I want to talk about. Sale Gloucester.
Brief, in fairness, as the game was with 69 points.
Let's just talk about Gloucester. Gloucester rather than Sale. So
none of this is having any bearing on the rest of the season in any capacity.
No, well, it will for next season when it's Gloucester's year. So definitely next season. Johan Ackerman's coming across and he might be a little put off by the challenge looking at their league position. But looking at their play yesterday, it was really impressive. Mark Atkinson was involved pretty much in everything that was good in the Gloucester performance.
Did he start in the centre?
He did. He started at 12.
Yeah.
Trinder scored two tries. Not seen him pretty much all season.
Yeah.
Billy Burns, outstanding. May, only relatively late on in the season, got back in. First, oh, of course, Tom Marshall.
Tom Marshall.
Another guy.
Who was the top point scorer in fantasy rugby draft this week in the entire league.
Why didn't you play him?
He was sat on my bench.
Agginson threw a triple miss pass. He then did a dummy switch.
Billy 12 Tree, Billy 12 Tree style triple miss pass.
Not Billy
into touch. That would be
not Billy 12 Tree style as
the,
such.
The kind of thing that Billy 12 Trees would attempt,
exactly,
but just executed correctly.
Yeah, by my count, I think Gloucester have got at least three centres that are over 6'4", which they play at 12.
I'm going to be devil's advocate here and say it's fine to play like that when you're playing against Sale after you've completely screwed up the chance of getting your top six European Cup spot, but that's what a mediocre team does, play really well when nothing's on the line.
Completely agree. That's, you know, that's the nature of the beast. The only mitigating factors are, like I say, we've not seen three or four of those lads all season in the back division.
It will be, so I am eagerly awaiting Ackerman's arrival. Being in South Africa, I watched a couple of, well, one interview in particular where he's talking in Afrikaans. It's very emotionally charged interview from Ackermans, talking about kind of the unity of the team that he built. And then
you were speaking fluent Afrikaans. Then I was listening to his Afrikaans interview, and it was incredibly passionately what the messages he was saying.
Those subtitles, they really got across that message,
all in italics.
And I read a couple of good interviews, South African Rugby magazine
in Swahili,
which I picked up. one in particular with Rohan Yancy Van Rensburg, who went off injured, looked like quite a nasty injury against, in a brilliant win by the Lions against the Stormers. Anyway, his interview with South Africa Rugby magazine, talking about how, because he was a Blue Bulls Academy player, and Ackerman brought him in, and he was so complimentary about Ackerman and what he's done for that team. So very exciting, and if either of you saw the Lions' performance away at the Stormers, the Stormers who just beat the Chiefs, who were up until that point unbeaten and were outstanding, Lions, their team performance, a couple of the tries they scored and their defensive shift was phenomenal. So if you can bring some of that to Gloucester, then it actually could be next Gloucester's year.
It's a mentality Gloucester need, much like Northampton have screwed it in the last few minutes. Gloucester, nine times in the Premiership this season, have been in games where the difference between the two sides at full time is 7 points or less.
Yep.
They've drawn two, lost seven of those.
Ooh, stacks up completely.
They haven't won a single one of those games where it's been within 7 points.
Well, Johan Ackerman, from what I can tell, just speaking widely, is basically the South African version of Todd Blackadder. First and foremost, he's a really good bloke. What he's going to be like tactically and strategically, who knows? Do we know the status of Carl Ferns? He's definitely not going now. Is that
definitely
right?
Definitely not going, yeah.
So is he definitely staying, or is he definitely not going to Gloucester?
I believe he's not going because he's staying.
Well, I understand that the offer Leon have made is substantially bigger, but I don't know any more than that. I don't know if Gloucester are going to say, yeah, fine, sign that deal after you've signed for us. I simply don't know if this has to work its way through some sort of arbitration situation.
It all comes down to the Goosen situation, where he's reneged on a contract.
Yeah.
And the Solomona situation, although that is slightly different because it's two different sports.
What, where he's reneged on saying he doesn't want to play for England?
That as well. There needs to be a precedent set. If players have signed a contract, regardless of what the terms are,
they have to honour the contract.
They have to honour that contract. Well, they need to understand that if you sign a contract, you are bound to a commitment.
I would go slightly in a different direction here. So yes, that is important, but do you really want that guy in your dressing room?
It must have been mutually. Like, look, Gloucester haven't come out and made any sort of noises that they're, or we've been let down by Carl Ferns.
No, nothing's been said, has
they
it?
Nothing's been said from them. So they're obviously.
Unless they're just still going along with, well, we expect him to turn up on the 1st of July, he will be at training. That's what his contract says.
Which would be a very bizarre way to go about things, because it makes it more contentious.
I'm a bit disappointed in Carl Ferns in a sense that even if Lyon's offer was 150 grand more, let's say,
imagine it was double.
I kind of don't really care. I almost think what one of the messages Carl Ferns is saying is, I'm probably not good enough to play for England.
Yeah,
I'd like him to have been a little bit more ambitious than that.
Yeah, well, that I'm with you. I'm 100% with you, Tim.
I'll tell you now. I think he might be the best eight in France. I mean, his performances this year.
He's a hell of an eight.
He would be good enough to play for England. I just don't think the money's there. I don't know.
If you play for England, if you play 15 tests for England, you're 300k.
Well, you don't know how much Lyon have offered him.
Well,
but this is the first Lyon team to ever manage to stay up. Now, I don't know how they went this weekend.
They beat.
No, did they?
La Rochelle.
So they've only got two more games left.
I'm sure they beat La Rochelle.
Do you know how many points difference there is between 5th and 11th in the top 14?
I know it's very fine.
A single point.
Yeah. So
second bottom to 5th.
They would just win their home games.
Yeah.
Win your home games, lads. It's fine.
Let's jump from top 14 across the Irish Sea. And what landmark, this is one of the questions I was going to say earlier, what landmark milestone did Connacht captain John Muldoon become the first player to achieve?
I know.
Go on.
It was 300, wasn't it?
300 caps.
Oh, wow. Congratulations, yeah. John Muldoon.
That is an impressive shift.
It is. Well, that just shows what happens when you actually get put through the meat grinder of the Pro 12 and you're not an international. How many games you can play.
Yeah. How many trips to Dragons Away?
Ziva.
Treviso.
Treviso. do you know what we have?
Yeah, how many lovely, nice... Treviso and Ziva, that must be a good trip. It's not that arduous, and you get to spend a couple of nights in Italy.
Yeah, but I don't think Italy is a place of extremes. There's extreme beauty.
Yeah.
And then you kind of have the outskirts of the town. I mean, I went to actually do jiu-jitsu in Genoa. Not Genoa. Where's the Romeo and Juliet place?
Verona.
Verona, beautiful. A mile outside the city, horrendous. Yeah. So, what you see of Italy and actually where these stadiums are, I reckon are two completely different things.
I think that must be the case if people ever bothered to step off the tourist track in the UK somewhere. London. Yeah. What, London's wonderful.
Stratford.
Yeah.
No.
Well, wander a mile south of Manchester City Centre and you'll be strolling through Moss Side.
Yeah. That is true.
Which I would not recommend to anyone.
Yeah, so maybe they're good trips. I don't even think they're in particularly nice places in Italy, are they?
We should talk about the Connacht Leinster game.
Oh, that was a great game.
Don't know.
24-37, seven-try spectacle, magnificent game. Leinster, obviously Connacht is a very difficult place to go and play. Leinster kind of showing what they do best.
Excellent. Congratulations, Leinster.
I can't believe we've got to this point in the podcast and JB hasn't mentioned a game that happened at the Principality Stadium.
I'm saving up for the end. Well, you'll notice I'm wearing my RGC 1404 top.
I thought you were talking about Judgment Day.
No, mate. No one cares about Judgment Day. RGC, the guys from North Wales, the guys who were meant to achieve nothing, the guys we were told it wouldn't be possible.
Sounds like a Hollywood movie. We were told yeah. They'd never amount to anything.
The men in suits came down.
No, do you know what? It wasn't even the men in suits. I mean, yeah, there is that nasty portion of South Wales that aren't interested in rugby whatsoever. They're just interested in bickering. But actually, in North Wales itself, it was pretty bad because the higher-ups or people around the club, there's just not enough talent here, there's not enough interest here. Well, there clearly is. And this weekend, RGC won the Welsh Cup against Pontypridd. And it was one hell of a game. To be fair, they made hard work of it, but they won the Welsh Cup, which is quite incredible. And they might even have a chance of going to the playoffs in the Premiership and winning that as well. Which is just an outstanding achievement.
Unfortunately for RGC, their win has been overshadowed by a chunky winger for Caerphilly stepping... Shane Williams doing him on the outside. As Shane Williams played for a village team.
Oh, is that right?
His brother's village team, a man. In the same finals day at the Principality Stadium.
Oh, is it the plate or
the bowl?
Yeah. Well, it's an incredible achievement for RGC. And hear me now, believe me later. That place will become a region. I don't know who it's going to be at the expense of, but it will become a region.
Oh, do you want to hear Simon Zebo's player mic?
Yes. It is in the NFL. It's great.
Yeah. It's cool. So anyway, Jonathan Spratt's forward is one of our favourites. This is my favourite one since Jonathan Spratt. Nothing will beat that one, but this is...
Zeebs, who's that?
Zeebs. He's calling the ball. Green.
Well, what green means?
Take it himself and kick it by the look of it. Excellent! He says the word excellent about 10 times in it. They're watching too much UFC.
Right, do you think
excellent, yes,
let's not mention that game, by the way.
I'm pretty sure, right?
No, yeah, what, the defeat by to Ulster, yeah.
During games there's a lot of knowing nods between players when one of them is a little bit too up for it. Like, what's wrong with Simon's egg player, Mike? Okay.
Excellent, yeah, giving really
a lot of communication.
There's a lot of communications. There's a lot of you're much more constructive than you normally are today. Zeebs. <Yeah. so.
laughs> Leading the team talks, butting in. Excellent.
But Zeebs, excellent. It did make me think of one thing, which I'm trying to flip from audio to audio. It did make me think of... Excellent. He's there.
Is that
good,
Mr. Burns?
Good Mr. Burns, yeah.
Do you know the best player, Mike, I think so far, was probably CJ Stander. Because what he's saying kind of makes me think that he would say that during a game.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
a lot of guys think, they're player, Mike. So, Zeebo, definitely. Definitely, but CJ Stander.
CJ Stander was just didn't it was just grunts and stuff.
Yeah,
wasn't
it was very guttural grunts. And,
yeah, very man, yeah, very manly.
It was really cool.
There was a bit where he tried to sell someone a used car, but besides that, it was all very good.
Oh, you talking about his advert?
Have you seen his advert?
Yeah.
Is that worth seeing?
It's kind of like a really badly produced office linebacker.
Yeah, it's quite good. I think it's deliberately bad.
CJ Stander, is it? Carey's Renault team leader.
Yeah.
Is that the video?
That's the one.
Oh, he's not doing a team talk to a team of car salesmen, is he?
It's bad. It's bad, this is.
Oh, no. So he's walking into a car showroom. It says, introducing CJ Salesman. And he's wearing a suit with his trademark headband.
Yeah.
Okay. People thought we were mad when we took CJ on board, but he's taken to the road like a fish to water.
Starting in Carey's Renault has been great. It's not really different from a game. My goal is
that Cork accent?
Very, very strong.
Real God, strong.
So, such a strong Cork accent that for the benefit of people living in urban Cork,
yes.
they've put subtitles on.
To get the best deal for the customers.
Now, yeah, yes. Close it. Come on. Get the best deal you can, man. Come on. Free service.
I have to describe.
It's so wooden.
There's a salesman chatting to a customer on one side of the car, and then two other salesmen lift up Stander in a line-out-esque move so he can shout that over the top of the car.
Although slightly unorthodox, have proven to be a huge hit.
There was a customer. You missed it. You completely missed it. You need to be ready all the time, 100%.
I am. And productivity is true.
Yeah, it's a very bad office linebacker, isn't it?
It makes me cringe.
They've been better off getting an actual big actor to do it.
They've been better off with just a regular advert.
That, yeah.
Mind you, actually, at least we are talking about it.
There is that. I don't know. Yeah.
The acting of that is on par with one of the worst bits of acting ever. Have you ever heard of the film The Room?
No.
You need to check out The Room. You've got the whole thing. I was in San Francisco, and this is such a cult film that every week or once a month they have a showing of The Room, even though it was made in 2003, and people take along props and shout bits of the film out and stuff. I was chatting to someone about it, but this is a line where he just said, you need to be ready 100% of the time. Oh, hi, N. Just reminded me of this.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah, pretty terrible.
God, we've gone on some weird and wonderful tangents today.
But it's because we've been detached from the game a little bit. We need to get back involved.
We do. Well, let's talk about this weekend, because we can have uninterrupted, unsullied coverage of this weekend.
All right. Well, before we do that, shall we do our pick of the week?
Well, let's do it all as part of it, because it's the semi-finals of the European competitions this weekend.
It certainly is.
So, let's make some money with LeoVegas.com. LeoVegas are our partners, our friends, and they have got some great deals for you. If you want a website to have a little bit of a flutter on the weekend's rugby, LeoVegas.com is where you need to head. We're going to try and give you some advice on one fixture and give you our thoughts on what we think the result will be, if that helps. In the past, probably best to just do the opposite of what we say, but hey, let's give it a crack this time.
LeoVegas picks have been fairly strong, haven't they?
Yeah, but our ability to actually lay the bets on, physically lay the bets on, to do it, has been pretty poor. But no, generally we're wrong more than we're right, I think.
Yes.
So this weekend we have fixtures. So Saturday and Sunday, no games on Friday night. So it's Super Rugby only on Friday. But
Is there not a Challenge Cup? I'm not...
They're both on Saturday and Sunday. Oh, yeah. So I'll be at the La Rochelle-Gloucester match on Saturday evening in the Challenge Cup. But it's Munster versus Saracens. And it's Clermont who are playing
Leinster.
Against Leinster. Which game do you want to focus on as our game of the week?
Saracens?
Munster Saracens.
Munster Saris, yes.
Yeah. So it is. So the way that they've structured the European Champions Cup now is that we've spoke before about the ranking team, but whoever is the best ranked team by their decisions gets a home country semi-final rather than a home semi-final.
Yes.
So Munster are playing at the Aviva in Dublin, and Clermont, I think they're playing at Lyon.
Are they?
I think I'm right in saying. Yeah.
I mean, that's still quite a track.
Oh, yeah.
But, okay. So, this is going to be tricky. So, Saracens rested a lot of lads this week, and it's going to be one of those very rare times this season where Saracens are going to have everyone available and fighting fit. So that's going to be fairly important. I can't think of any big names that won't be in it. So Mako's around.
Cruz is around.
Billy's around. Cruz is back. Atodji's back.
Cruz and Atodji are both back.
Who would they... Skalkberger?
Skalk. They'll probably go for Skalk and...
Skalk, Billy. I would probably go with... the guy who's... why can't I remember names today? My memory recall is terrible.
I also can't remember his name, but that's because I've slept about 3 hours in the last 40.
He's the son of Nigel Ray. What's his name?
Jackson Ray.
Jackson Ray. There you go.
They got Rhodes as well.
Yeah. Oh, Rhodes is quality, actually.
Yeah, I think they'll use Rhodes on the bench because he's got like a utility cover.
See, I don't think you're right there. I think they will use Rhodes in second row and keep Cruis on the bench.
Really? No.
Yeah, because he's not quite fit yet. I mean, he's like kind of fit.
He played, he played most of the game, didn't he?
It's a big step up, though, from going, your first match back in the Premiership to, oh, by the way, you're playing in the Aviva.
Yeah, international.
It's a huge, huge step up.
Munster do a Conor Murray's kicking game and their back three's defence of and pressure, the pressure that both teams on. They play quite a similar game from what I've seen. The pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good
the box
point.
Kicking game.
Very well drilled packs, both of them as well.
Really well drilled packs.
I tell you what,
they're sort of cancelling each other out when you look at a lot of the matchups.
If you want to watch a really well drilled lineout, I love watching Munster's lineout. It's so inventive. Having said that, the thing you mentioned about the box kicks, if there's one knock on Conor Murray, is maybe his box kicking isn't quite as accurate as it could be. And I think he's against the best in the business. I think he will get outplayed in the kicking stakes by Wigglesworth.
I think what started as something that galvanised the team together over, obviously Axel Foley, I think has become something very, very real because of, and not because of Axel Foley, but because they started training all together.
The team, the unity.
That unity, yeah.
The culture.
That culture. Yeah, I think that has been a big part of it. The players were always there and are there, but it's squeezed out that extra 5 or 10%, and it's the extra 5 or 10% which makes all the difference. And I think on Munster, it's just written in the stars. I think they could go on and win the whole thing.
So I expect that they will have this. It will be a home game for Munster.
Yeah,
just with 70,000 Munstermen rather than 20,000.
Yeah, I completely agree. I agree with everything you say except for the result. I can't go with a Munster result because if Manchester win, this base, it's kind of like, I guess it's kind of like me voting Labour in the sense that it would challenge my entire worldview. You know, my whole existence has been crumbling down. So for that reason alone, I'm going to have to pick Saracens.
So you're picking and hoping and praying that it's Saracens.
Basically, yeah.
Well, in the last year or so, some of your world views appear to have taken a shift. Maybe this will be the next of them.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with Saracens to win this because they simply have to, for me.
Saracens by how many?
12.
So I'm going to go Munster.
Wow.
Yeah.
I find it so difficult to look past Saracens, but it's Munster, and I know they're not at home, but this will be a home game for Munster. There will be 60,000+ Munstermen in that stadium. It will be a sea of red. And that makes it them so difficult to look past. So I'm going to go Munster, but by less than by 5 points.
What is Munster's most impressive performance of the season? Just out of interest.
Glasgow at home was very impressive.
Yeah. Tigers at home.
Leicester at home was impressive.
Yeah, yeah, that was really impressive.
And the Saracens? Toulon away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Toulon away was devastating. This is going to be a hell of a game.
This is going to be monstrous.
So what time is it? 3:15 on Saturday. I know what I'll be doing. 3:15 on Saturday.
Yeah, damn right. And then on to Sunday's game, Claremont hosting Leinster.
Oh, hang on. Just give me a points difference.
Oh, right, yeah. I'm going to go Munster. I mean, but then Saracens are the holders, so they know what it takes.
And they're rested as well.
And they're rested. I can't. It's hard to call. Munster by 4.
Munster by 5.
Saracens by 12.
And that is our thoughts. Get yourself to leovegas.com. Right, so second semi-final, Claremont against Leinster. Claremont second in their domestic top 14 table, but have just looked the best team in the European competition through the pool stages.
Yes.
Comfortably.
Absolutely. They've been phenomenal. I will point out two players who are missing for Claremont, who are probably their two most exciting backs in Fofana and Noah Nakatasi, who's done one of his ligaments in his knee.
Now, the replacement for Fofana isn't bad, and I can't remember his name. Again, this is a theme of this podcast.
Fiku?
No,
he's Toulouse.
Oh, he's Toulouse. Yeah, of course he is. Who are bottom of bottom of the league? Do you see that?
Are they?
Toulouse are bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, they
three,
are struggling.
3 or 4 points adrift.
Ooh. Is it Lamarat I'm thinking of here?
Lamarat certainly was Racing.
No, not him then. Anyway, apparently they've got a very impressive young centre.
So they're not just playing Rougerie as they normally do.
How long can you keep this up for?
He's second choice in every... He's like the Chris Wiles of Claremont.
I disagree. I think he's more like the Matt Banahan.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I wonder if you could ever get those two on the same team. Ageing, massive outside backs.
So I can tell you that Claremont had Benson Stanley played 12 this week.
Brother of Winston.
They've got another chap called Damian Penaud.
That could be the guy. I can't remember.
Who's a 20-year-old France under-20s centre.
I'm pretty sure I remember reading Gavin Mortimer saying that this guy's good. That's all I'm going off. There you go. And Gavin Mortimer knows stuff.
Well, Claremont. So they are missing those two thrilling backs. They've still got a lot of talent right across the park. Yeah. And they've got an enormous, monstrous pack.
Now, monstrous pack and the man at the back, Benders!
Benders and monstrous, they're nice.
They've got Benders and or Spedding.
Yeah.
Well, and Stretz.
Yeah, so one of my favourite players in the world is David... Oh, for God's sakes. Help me with his name.
David something Ashvili.
Kirikashvili.
This man... Right, can do things to humans that should be illegal.
Get him in the octagon, I always think, when I see
him. Oh, my God. It was against Exeter, and I'm sure it was Maury Lowe. Maury Lowe is an international prop. He gets paid money gets paid money. He pays his mortgage because he's very good at pushing objects. And what he did to Maury Lowe, it was offensive, actually. And he's just an animal. He's an animal of epic proportion. I'm actually looking forward to this just to watch the scrimmaging.
Yeah, because he will be packing down against McGrath and or Kieran Healy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Furlong, but on his side of the scrum, because Kira Cash feels a tight head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that will be very interesting.
Oh, I can't wait. I simply can't wait. Mm. He is a destroyer of worlds.
And
a creator of widows.
And two excellent fly halves in Camille Lopez and Johnny Sexton. So Leinster did take the opportunity to rest a few players in their victory against Connacht this week.
I can imagine with Kirikashvili, he might be a creator of widows, but he claims the wife as his prize.
He's got a whole like, his own. From what I understand, at least, and this might not be true, he's got a whole ranch of wives.
Yeah.
And not even his, just ones he's captured.
Yeah.
A menagerie.
Yeah, a menagerie.
And like with the you know, prime stallions, he has people that kind of do all the groundwork for him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's my word. Clermont. Clermont by 8.
Leinster are playing some tremendous rugby this season.
They are.
And when Sexton's at his best, it's very difficult to bet against Sexton when he's at his best.
Yeah, I agree with that. But Clermont are one of the few French teams that take rugby seriously. From what I understand, they even record some of their games. And
and they have a part-time nutritionist and strength and conditioning
coach. Comes in like one day every month.
Yeah, yeah.
So like they are quite a serious operation. And I just wonder, like, how often can Leinster and Sexton, for this matter, just run the same loop move over and over again? When is it going to come and done?
Oh, no. People have been saying this for years.
Yeah. What's going to do? Oh, loop. Oh, there you go.
No, you just can't read it.
No. Clearly not. So I don't know.
I'd like an Irish province to get to the final. I would.
I think they both go down hard. And I think Claire... I just don't know, actually. I don't know. Because, hang on, let's have a look back in recent history. Leinster went to a huge French team. Was it Cast?
This season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cast.
Massive number 8.
Tamani in the centres.
Yeah.
They've got Nadolo.
No, you're thinking of Montpellier.
Oh, Montpellier. So that's who they played.
I don't think they did play.
Sure, they did.
Montpellier and Cast were in the pool stages.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah, so they play Montpellier, who are enormous, and they beat them fairly handily, from what I remember.
Yeah, I mean they've got almost an entire international team, and certainly almost an entire international pack. So if anyone's going to deal with enormous packs, Leinster can do it.
I'm finding this.
So, Clermont at home. Well, it's again.
If it was the Stade Mayol, or whatever it is, not at home. That's too long. But yeah.
So Leinster could actually, because the tickets presumably even sail. So Leinster could.
Leinster fans travel particularly don't they?
They do.
Well,
so
Irish fans in general.
The home advantage might not. I'm going to say Leinster. I'm not backing against Johnny Sexton.
The problem I've got here is I seldom watch either of these teams play. I'm just going off like name value and the 5 minutes of rugby that I've seen both of them play in the group stages. Judging from what I've seen, I think Clermont are a more powerful team, particularly after what they did to Exeter, who, you know, at the top of the show, we couldn't say enough good things about, and they dismantled them.
They did lose to Ulster, though, at Ravenshill at the Kingspan. So give me Leinster. Leinster by 3 points.
I'm changing my mind. I'm going Leinster. But Leinster by a few. We're going for an all-Irish final.
You're probably best putting your money on a French-English
Saracen
final. Then.
French-English final, then.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Clermont, I think.
But I don't know.
Being
contrary today.
I can't tell you why.
They are going to be two incredible games.
And let's give the Challenge Cup the time that it deserves. Oh, I mean, actually, no, I'm only jesting when I say that because I'm working at the game. I'm really excited about it. I am. La Rochelle, going to every hipster fan of rugby's a favourite club. I thought La Rochelle was only a place in a mythical place in a French tricolore textbook. Didn't realise it was actually a place.
Is it a naval port or something?
It's on the west coast, possibly, who knows.
Who cares?
Yeah. Anyway, so La Rochelle play Gloucester.
At 8 p.m. on Saturday.
La Rochelle, I'm picking to win that. And
Gloucester have had a couple of good wins back to back.
Next year, mate.
Yeah, maybe.
But
next
do you know where they do have form?
Every year they seem to do very well in the Challenge Cup. They do
actually, and as well, La Rochelle, I've got a 10-point lead in the domestic league, so they are able to rest and rotate. I don't know. I'll go La Rochelle. And Bath go to Stade Francais.
Yeah.
Who have been in trouble.
Bath, I think.
Well, Bath have been playing terribly.
Yeah, but Stade Francais are awful this year.
Stade Francais, it's such an intriguing thing to have to merge two rugby clubs.
Which they're not doing now.
Yeah.
Is it off, mate?
Is it off?
When did that happen?
A couple of weeks back. Yeah. On the cusp when we were leaving the countries.
Yeah, 4 days after the announcement, they're like, we're not doing this. So I don't think
Stade Francais then.
I don't think Stade Francais will even be in existence next year.
Really?
Yeah, and also Sale, rubbish, have signed Stade Francais' better eight, John O'Ross. That's a cracking signing.
Mm.
Give me Bath. Stade Francais are a mess.
But so are Bath. Bath have capitulated twice. Give me Bath.
Yeah.
Rocco to do what he didn't do this weekend and actually do something.
Bath.
Yeah. Done. Okay, it's good.
All right, good.
Just one last thing. Do you want to talk about it very quickly?
It has to be very quick because I need to get to work.
Oh, right, okay. Super Rugby, three teams going.
Yeah.
Is that worth talking about or should we do another time?
I think it is definitely worth talking about.
It's kind of big, isn't it?
It's massive news.
Yeah. Okay, let's do it quickly. So Sanzar have been told that they've got to lose two teams in South Africa, one team in Australia. Looks like the Rebels are going.
So what they've said is...
The Rebels are defying that at the moment.
Sorry, did I say Rebels? I meant the Storm.
No, Melbourne Storm's a rugby league team.
Sorry, hang on.
Western Force.
Western Force, sorry, yes.
So
yes.
They're looking to
that
end...
That does sound like a
they're
Storm,
looking
yeah.
to... end professional rugby in the west of in the yeah the west,
west
of Australia.
Australia
yeah so
in much the same way as Wales are ignoring rugby in the north
exactly.
of Wales.
So the problem here is Melbourne are privately owned, whereas the Force aren't. So the Force are the easy ones to roll up as
AIU
yeah.
owned.
As it happens, means that the Force are playing better. There's going to be some legal battles, and I don't think the Rebels are going anywhere purely because they are privately owned. South Africa, bit more difficult.
A lot more difficult from the sounds of things from the press. So Southern Kings make an easy target.
Gone. But not really gone, are they? What is it about Port Elizabeth that they like?
I don't know. They came back into it because there seemed to have been some political agreement that they were coming back into it.
Was it a government agreement, no less? This is done at a very high level.
It might have been one of the ministers of sport.
Yeah,
they basically
promised these guys a Super Rugby franchise, and they gave it to them, but with no idea of how they live. Which is why the Kings are such a joke. But politically, I think the Kings have to stay. So
politically and geographically, the Kings make sense.
Do they?
I don't
even know if there's any rugby played in Port Elizabeth. I know nothing about it.
Well, neither do I. I flew out of there one day, but that was all.
And what did you gain from that?
the water to the bathrooms wasn't working in the entire airport.
Well, get them out.
Get them out. Expect a Super Rugby
franchise. Exactly.
So now the talk is a merger, isn't it? Cheetahs and Lions.
Well, but Cheetahs and Lions are further away. So Pretoria. Pretoria to Johannesburg is like 30 miles.
Which would be Bulls and the Lions.
Bulls and Lions.
Yeah, but you can't...
But they're two of the kind of... Historically, I guess.
Surely we can turn this into some kind of... Each team puts one person forward for a Hunger Games.
Well, weirdly, the Force do play the Rebels in a few weeks' time. So it would be interesting to see that as like, you know, winner takes all. A very Super League style.
A very superficial.
Surely would it not work in any shape or form to think about merging a couple if you say there's two that are close together?
Yes.
It would.
And maybe build a stadium that has the right number of seats for the people that go along to attend and get a little 5,000 seater job.
Well, let's just start with Australia. No, it wouldn't make sense. The distances are just too vast.
Yeah, you couldn't merge any two Australian
teams. They've just got to go. They've just got to live with it and go. Unless they did something like one game here, one game there. I don't like that either. So they've got to get on with it. South Africa's a little bit more... Well, obviously the politics in South Africa is horrendous. But like Bulls, Stormers, Sharks and someone else. Who I'm forgetting.
Lions.
Not Lions. Who are the original four?
Cheetahs.
Nope, not Cheetahs. Hang on, that'd be all of them.
That is all of them.
Oh, so no, so they only have three teams.
Did they?
Yeah, Super 12.
No, that would have been four and four and four.
No, no, it was another four and four. It's always been five.
Five New Zealand.
Then there'd be three South Africa, three...
Four
but that's
Australian.
Super 10, so who'd be the...
We're getting into too much anyway. Yeah. What is going to be interesting, what's probably going to be good for fans of Pro 12 and Avicii, is we are losing three professional teams.
Yep.
So there will be players, there will be good quality players who will become available and be travelling, probably, to the Northern Hemisphere to play their rugby.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like it because these aren't the marquee signings you want. They're the journeyman that no one wants. It's like, in fact, it's the exact sort of player I don't want. And, I mean, not to be too disparaging, but we don't... How many Bothas do we want up in Newcastle?
Moritz Bothas.
Yeah.
I mean, a good few years for Saracens.
Reasonable player, but, you know, at what cost for you know, developing academy talent?
Yeah. Anyway, we've
this
we've
one's
going to
run
death.
And run. We'll see yeah. this. Well, thank you very much for listening. We'll be back. Well, we could have a special Peak TO podcast, just 2 minutes of the horn on Wednesday when the Lions squad gets announced. We'll be watching that one. We will actually be bothering to tweet and do stuff like that
as well.
I think
you'll be live on an Instagram video on the 19th, won't you, Tim?
I would have thought I would be doing something of that kind of ilk, yeah.
I think you'll be... In fact, I'm telling you now, you're going to be live on the 19th with the Canterbury shirt.
Yes. Ah, nice. So, Egg Chasers... I'm trying to think. Egg Chasers Podcast on Instagram, Rugby Podcast on Twitter, subscribe on iTunes,
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cast, tell your mates, and thank you very much for listening. Top work, Philip.
Thank you, Tim.
Nice one, JB.
Thank you, Timothy.
In a bit.
Bye-bye.